The following is a Compassion Radio classic broadcast featuring the Reverend Dr. Norm Nelson.
Lebanon. At this moment in history, this little Middle Eastern country is one of the most tragic places on earth. Death and destruction are everywhere. How do you put the events in perspective? Today's Compassion Radio program will help you to do that.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Compassion Radio goes to some of the toughest places in the world to share the compassion of Christ with those that need it the most. Sometimes the world just seems to be going crazy. We read about the suicide bombings in the paper. We see the destruction and demolition on the evening news. And yes, we can even click to stories online that tell the tale of bombings, deaths, lives destroyed, homes decimated. Can you imagine living your life day to day amid such chaos and fear? Norm's guest today doesn't have to imagine such a thing because for him, it's a reality. Lucy and Akkad has an important story to tell. Before God called him home, he told it to Norm Nelson. And it's important that we hear it, especially in these times of increasing tension, fear, and despair in Syria. Does God have a way out of this mess? We don't know. But we do know that he has a way through for his faithful.
Well, Lebanon is on fire, literally. This confrontation, of course, is not new. Lebanon has been the scene of other battles between the Israelis and Hezbollah, and the Israelis and the PLO, and Lebanon has suffered the violence of civil war in recent years. In my many travels through Lebanon over the years, I have come to know and to love many outstanding Lebanese Christian leaders. And one of the finest of these Christians is the Reverend Lucien Akkad, who for many years was the General Secretary of the Middle East Bible Society. I had the privilege of interviewing him a few years ago as I was visiting Cyprus and Lebanon. I think that Lucien's words will add some valuable perspective on the current crisis in Lebanon. Listen carefully, my friend, to his words, and then pray for Lebanon and the crisis facing Christians today in that embattled country. Lucien Akkad, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Well, it's my pleasure to talk with you. I enjoy the radio ministry, and I enjoy also talking to people about what God is doing in our part of the world.
Would you tell our listeners a bit about your personal history? You went to Switzerland, and then you came back to Beirut. Tell us about that experience.
Well, that experience comes from the fact that my mother is Swiss, and my father is Lebanese, and they met in Bible school, and both of them, when they went back to Beirut before the Second World War, were colporting the Bible in all the villages of Syria and Lebanon with a donkey, a soap box full of books, and they had tents, and they were going from village to village with the Bible. So my background comes from that, and because of my Swiss mother, I went and studied later in Switzerland. And when I was 20 years old, which is 40 years from today, I was called to go back to Lebanon and to live my faith in Lebanon, in whatever the Lord would open up. At the beginning, I thought it's better to live in Switzerland. It's quieter, it's more organized, it's clean, it's prosperous. I had a possibility of a good work there. But first of all, my parents wanted to see me because in those days you wouldn't travel as you travel today by plane. And so I wanted to see them. And secondly, they wanted me to be back permanently. And the Lord also was putting on my heart to go back.
Now, when you came back to Lebanon, you made some pretty interesting discoveries, I guess pretty traumatic. Tell us about that.
Well, in those days, some kind of problems happened in the country. In 1975, really, the civil war started in our country. Lebanese do not like very much that terminology of civil war because they felt, and we feel until today, that much of the war was a result of the problems of the Middle East that were fought on our land. So I don't like the idea of the civil war. But the fact is that it has been difficult to live 16 years in a troublesome area without security, with bombing every night, with roads closed, with checkpoints at every corner of roads. With a family, I was married by that time. I married in 1967. I always thought I have a Swiss wife. I have a Swiss mother. If there is a problem in the Middle East, as we read in the Bible, problem would come one day. The best thing is to go back to Switzerland when it happens, and I will have a happy and prosperous and quiet life there, away from the troubles of the Middle East. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I would say, when you are in the hands of God and when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's a completely different business because life has a different reason. You exist for a different reason than just surviving in a comfortable house and with a comfortable future in your hands. Actually, you realize that the most important place to be is in the will of God. And we had to learn it the difficult way because in 1975 we lost our first house. We had three small children at that time. We had to go and live in another house of my parents in the mountains where we spent one winter with the cold. We have very cold winters in our mountains. Our house was not equipped for winter, but the Lord provided everything we needed. At that time I had already lost a great deal in the business that I was leading. And more I was thinking, well, I should go back to Switzerland. 1976, summer, our church asked me to go and represent them in a conference in Europe, in Germany. And the airport, Beirut Airport, was closed. We still had a car. We traveled all the way from Beirut to Damascus. It was dangerous. My wife, who is a nurse, was working at the American University of Beirut, so we secured our way, traveling in a convoy that was going to Damascus to get pharmaceutical equipment, oxygen for the hospital, and stuff like that. And then we had to drive all the way from Damascus via Turkey, then Bulgaria, Yugoslavia in those days was okay, and then all the way to Switzerland. We lived 4 months in Switzerland, thinking that we would establish our life there. And right from the beginning, we didn't feel comfortable because we felt we were a little bit like Jonah, counting on our own wisdom. And people were telling us, yes, you shouldn't go back. You have small kids. The eldest was 5 years old. The youngest was 2 years old. And even if you want to live a situation like that, you don't have the right to have your children live that type of life. The churches in the area where we were sent us to speak to theological students in the area of Paris so that we may find some kind of new vision from the Lord to stay in Europe. We visited three Bible schools. We talked to the students. We came back to Switzerland. And still we were not feeling comfortable to stay there. And we wrote back to our church in Lebanon. I had been a pastor of a church together with having a business. And we said, we don't feel comfortable in Europe. Is there room for us to come back? And I don't know how they got the letters because the post office was not functioning well with a closed airport. But they got our message. We got a message back saying, we are waiting for you. Your house is gone, but you can come and live with us. We have a group of several people, several families are living in the house of one of our pastors. Come back. So in November of that year, we drove back. What is a difficult life? To be with the Lord is not a difficult life. We have been through bombing of our house. We have lost 7 different houses destroyed by bombardments. In 1988, I nearly lost my life in the bombing of my house. I still have problems with my leg, my left leg, because of that. I still know that the best secure place is in the hand of God.
That's a very impressive thing to think about. You just said that in a secure place like Switzerland, with money, comfort, and all of those things, you were not really secure. But to come back to Lebanon, because the Lord was leading you back here to a dangerous place, that was the secure place for you. That's a powerful statement.
Yeah, maybe I can give you some more illustration of this. The day we decided to leave Lebanon in 76 with our three kids and go by land, of course we didn't have all the visas required, but we knew because next to us there was the Italian embassy, maybe we can get the Italian visa. So I went with one of our sons, and I was going in the direction of that embassy to get our visas. And suddenly in the middle of the road, shooting started. People were just shooting in the air and shooting at one another. And I just went quietly with my son, who lives at the moment in California in the United States. We went to take shelter in one of the buildings. But I didn't want to show the panic. People were panicking and running around and so on. But then I looked to him and I said, "Son, were you afraid?" He said, "No, I was not afraid." "Have you seen what was happening?" He said, "Yeah, people were shooting at each other." 3 years old boy. And I said, "Why were you not afraid?" He said, "Daddy, I was holding your hand."
Wow, how precious is that? It sounds just like something my daughter Hannah would say. You know, Compassion Radio is willing to go where others won't. We reach these places because you make it possible. Here's Norm to share why your partnership is needed so much.
Well, again, this is Compassion Radio, America's radio voice for global mission. I'm Norm Nelson, and I want to welcome you to Base Camp. Now, if you haven't heard that before, haven't heard any other radio ministry give you that kind of welcome, it's because Compassion Radio is unique among radio ministries. We talk, of course. But Compassion Radio isn't essentially talk-oriented. We teach at Compassion Radio, and teaching is important. But at Compassion Radio, teaching doesn't sum up what we're about. What Compassion Radio is really about is transformative action. You see, at Compassion Radio, talk and teaching are translated into acts of Christ-empowered compassion that transform the lives of the neediest people in the toughest places on earth. Places like Afghanistan and Burma, Cuba, Haiti, Iran, Iraq, North Korea, Pakistan, South Africa, Sudan, and Syria. And what really sets Compassion Radio apart is that you do it, my friend. Your sponsorship of Compassion Radio projects in 31 countries means that Compassion Radio is your ministry. Compassion Radio turns you loose on the world to share Christ's good news through adventurous acts of compassionate service. It's what the Apostle James in his New Testament letter calls doing the truth. That's an adventure that requires courage and generosity and stamina and, yes, sometimes even sacrifice. Those are commitments that are typical of athletes in competition or soldiers in combat or explorers moving out to unfamiliar territory beyond the horizon or mountain climbers scaling the world's highest summits. And you see, Base Camp is a place from which adventurers launch their mission. Thanks so much for answering the call. Our Corps of Compassionaries trains here daily. Welcome to Base Camp.
You can reach us at our toll-free offering and order line, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're available online anytime at CompassionRadio.com. I'll repeat this information at the end of the broadcast. And now, back to Norm's interview.
And I said, "Why were you not afraid?" He said, "Daddy, I was holding your hand." And the Lord really struck my mind. And that story has been all the way through the war with us. If a boy thinks that by holding his father's hand, and you know, how can I stop the bullets from coming towards him? But he didn't realize. But we realize that we have a powerful God who can do it. And how much more should we have that faith of children and have confidence in a Lord that can really protect us? I mean, that has helped us, and it has proved true. When shelters were hit, sometimes we didn't have a shelter to go, but we knew we were just depending on the Lord and raising our hearts. It doesn't mean we have not been afraid. It doesn't mean we have not panicked. It doesn't mean that we have not despaired at some points of the war, but each time, and sometimes you, when you are in the middle of it, you don't realize it. God gives you the calm, but it's only afterwards that you realize how he has kept you, how he provided the shelter, the invisible. I don't know whether he sent angels around us, whether he put walls of fire or walls of water or invisible shields that protected us from all the kind of dangers we went through. Three times I was going to kidnap. Once it was with the whole family. And you know, when people were kidnapped, they disappeared. They were just killed by some other fanatic group. They would just get rid of you. But so many times, the Lord showed his mercy and protection.
We're talking about the war in Lebanon, about all the fighting. What kind of an impact has all that fighting made on the beautiful country of Lebanon?
When you talk about the beauty that you discovered recently, you just see the remaining of the beauty, because we lost 70% of our forest that gradually deteriorated with the bombing and burning and so on and so forth. But the Lord is still keeping it beautiful. Now, the country itself, I would say, had other problems than just keeping nature. People had to think about their own lives. We have lost a lot of people. Many people, because of the war, are permanently paralyzed, or they lost a limb, or the physical problems that people have probably are not as bad as the scars that are left in the souls of the people, in the mental part of the people, in the spiritual part of the people. I shouldn't maybe use the word in their spiritual part, because I think that in tough situations, the spiritual part have a chance to react positively, because God is also trying through this kind of pressure to bring people to himself. And we have seen during the war more people going to churches, more people trying to find a solution to their spiritual need.
Give us just a brief accounting of the history of the church in Lebanon. I think there are many people who think of Lebanon as essentially a Muslim country because it's an Arab country. But Christianity has a strong history here, doesn't it?
You're absolutely right. I'm glad you're informed, because I know that so many people ignore the real situation of Lebanon. The Arab countries, when I visited, for instance, very often countries of the Gulf or Saudi Arabia and so on, they think that every Arab should be a Muslim. And they are completely, some of them, ignorant of the fact that in Lebanon there are Christians. They think that Christianity has been imported from the West. And of course, it's not true. And the problem, the tragedy, and I hope that this program in the United States is going to help some people realize that this is not true. If you look and read the Gospels, you will find that Jesus has been in the area of Tyre and Sidon in the southern part. It's even true of the Old Testament, when somebody like David had friends in the king of Tyre who sent him material to build his temple and his own house, by the way. If you read the gospel carefully, I like to think that Jesus, when he was tired, was kind of spending a few days of holiday near Tyre and Sidon, you know, in a beautiful area, a quieter area. The other part, of course, is you look in the book of Acts, when Paul is going back in the direction of Jerusalem before the beginning of his ordeal and taken as a prisoner from Jerusalem back to Rome. He stopped in Tyre, and there was a church established there, and they prayed with him, and they tried to convince him. The Holy Spirit was very much alive in the life of these believers, and they knew that Paul would have to go and suffer in Jerusalem. And they announced that to Paul, and Paul said, I also know that I am going to have problems, but I am not going to run away from problems. He was actually going to Jerusalem knowing that he was going to be persecuted there. So the church has been, since the first church, quite active and alive in our mountains until today. They have always resisted the persecution. We received also groups of Christians from other parts of the Middle East who were persecuted.
I wonder if you'd tell us a little bit about the evangelical church in Lebanon these days. What's the condition of the church here, evangelical Christians who love Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior?
Well, Lebanon, of course, received missionaries from the missionary movement of the 19th century. And they retranslated the Bible into Arabic, because maybe you know or you may not know that the Arab church of the Middle East had translations of the Bible from the 9th century. And since that time, every century where the Bible was retranslated into Arabic is a century where the Arabic church was alive. I think many, many people have really rediscovered Christianity through the suffering. Persecution, I would say, has not stopped, and it is still possible today for somebody who come to the Christian faith from another faith to suffer for their faith. You can imagine that after 16 years of war, there are also a lot of hurts. We believe in the power of forgiveness. I think the Christian has to show the example. Our message is a message of forgiveness. So we have to live it now. And through living it, I think we can show people that Jesus is relevant. You would be amazed, for instance, when we have book exhibitions in Lebanon these days, that the bestseller is the Bible.
By the way, this is a little bit off the subject of Lebanon, but you told me something yesterday that really surprised me. You told me that in Iraq, if I have my numbers correct, 225,000 copies of the New Testament have been distributed to Christian students through the schools of Iraq. Is that right?
Well, the figure is absolutely correct. The church said, look, we lack everything in this country. We don't have enough teaching books. Why should our Christian young people be deprived of studying the Bible in the schools? So they agreed to have the Bible, to have a Christian curriculum for the student in the government school. And it was really an amazing thing to be able to print those New Testaments in Beirut and to send them to Iraq.
As I noted yesterday when you told me that, we could not do that in the United States today. I think that's amazing, and I think many of our listeners are going to be shocked to hear that. One more question. What would you want for North American Christians to know about their brothers and sisters in Christ in Lebanon and maybe beyond Lebanon across the entire Middle East? What would you like to say to American Christians?
I think the most important thing is what we have just done during this time together. It is to realize that there are brothers and sisters, their brothers and sisters living in that part of the world, that they believe in the same God, in the same Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they have the same experience of living through Christ, Christ living in them through the Holy Spirit. This is important for us. It's important to feel that even if the politicians are not interested in a Christian presence in the Middle East, at least their Christian brothers are interested in knowing and praying for people who have the same persuasion, the same goal in life, and the same desire to please their Lord.
Lucien, I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to talk to us. It's been an inspiration to me, and I know our listeners appreciate it very much. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Norman. I really appreciated also your time.
Well, that's Lucien Akkad, a great and faithful Christian leader in Beirut, Lebanon. I don't think I'll ever forget that story about his little boy's comment when the bullets were flying. I'm not afraid, Daddy, because you're holding my hand. My, what a picture of what faith in our Heavenly Father is all about. And my friend, don't forget to pray for Lebanon.
Here at Compassion Radio, we present you with opportunities to make a difference in the world. That's why your partnership is so important to Compassion Radio. Because it's one of those opportunities to bind our hearts together, you with us. This concern has come about, quite frankly, because of problems. You see, it's been difficult to make adequate ministry decisions without sufficient response from you, our listeners. Maybe you just haven't taken the time to respond because you've been so overwhelmed in your own problems. Well, let us know about them, won't you? We count it a privilege to intercede on your behalf. I'm convinced the future is just as bright as the promises of God. He will not fail. Can we count on you financially during these significant days? Why not send a check, email us, or pick up the phone now while you're thinking about it? God will bless you for it. Thanks. Your tax-deductible giving, whether large or small, really does make a big difference in helping us remain a strong radio voice here in your area. So thank you in advance for your sacrificial gift. Reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or find us online at CompassionRadio.com. You can give safe and secure right there online at CompassionRadio.com. And that phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.